morning. Happy Easter. Look at the cross. On Friday night, we have time we came before the Lord for remembrance of our Lord, what He has done. And then after seven saints, we have seven brothers sharing about seven saints on the cross of our Lord Jesus. And then after that, each and every one of us, we wrote down something. I didn't look at them. There are no names there. But all of them, they wrote down something related to confession, their sins, wrote down something that they recommit themselves to the Lord. And then we put, ask them to put everything, just on the cross. And that means they rededicate themselves. They want the help from our Lord. And, every year we did that, it's really touching time for us because we can't imagine how Jesus loved us so much and how can we pay Him back. That's almost impossible. But anyway, this morning we are sharing, talking about the restoration of Jesus Christ. So, if you have Bible, or maybe Richard can help to show the verses on the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 on the screen. Let's spend a little bit time to meditate and think about the restoration of Jesus Christ, and then through that He brings us the eternal hope. That is the most important message. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let me read the first verse with you first. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which I received and on which you have taken your stand. Here talk about the gospel that Paul has preached to Corinthian churches and also to many other places. Verse 3, he explained the content, the importance of the gospel. For what I receive, I pass on to you as first importance, but that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. That He was buried, that He was raised on the first day, according to the scripture. The gospel, the main thing for the gospel, the center of the gospel, message of the gospel is Christ died for our sins. And He was raised up on the third day. That is the main thing of the gospel. So that's why when Paul wrote letter to the churches in Corinthians, he said, I know nothing else but Jesus Christ and His cross. So every time we need to preach the gospel, we preach about His death and then His restoration. This is so crucial, so important. I was being serving among the Muslims for some years. For the Muslims, basically they don't believe that Jesus died on the cross. They don't believe it. So Paul here in from verse 9 onward, Paul argue about from verse 3 onward, Paul argue about the death of Jesus Christ, and that if He isn't dead, from verse 14 onward, Jesus Christ wasn't dead, then there is no restoration. The restoration means someone has been dead and then rise again. So if Jesus Christ was not put on the cross, there is no restoration. Okay, so if we talk about restoration and then we found out the tomb is not empty, then we cannot prove that restoration happened. But even if the tomb was empty, there can be happen some other ways, like the disciple of Jesus Christ, stole the body. So it's important that Paul here wrote to the Corinthian churches and talk about Jesus Christ was dead and then rise up on the third day, verse 5, in chapter 15. And that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living. That means Jesus appeared. This is so important to prove that he really actually died and he really raised up from the dead. So brothers and sisters, this is so important. So important. I'm not sure how you relate this fact, this truth, to our Christian life. My father passed away December 2009. I wasn't at home. So as soon as I arrived home, I hold my mom's hands. And I look at her eyes, I say, "Mom, Dad is waiting over there. He is waiting for us. There is hope. This is not the end. Okay? This is not the end." My mother is a very strong Christian. And she said yes. She said yes. And when the evening after funeral, I shared with all the friends and relatives, with many came to our house. I said, don't be sad. You know, it's difficult for us to say goodbye to my father, but don't be sad, because he is a King Christian. He is waiting there. We have hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to see each other one day. So I asked my friends and relatives, "Do you have that kind of hope?" This is powerful, because it's not just a belief. It's not just something that had knowledge. It's something so important. You know, one incident I never forget in my life. 1989, I was in Melbourne, Australia. One day, I received a phone call from a pastor, said, "Can you help?" I said, "What happened?" He said, "Can you help me to conduct a funeral?" I said, "Funeral? Who was that?" He said, "Doesn't matter, you don't know him." I said, "I better know something." So he was in a hurry, just saying, "Please, I have important thing I need to go, and the funeral is happening in 2 hours, you need to be there." So from the time he called me and the time I arrived at the funeral home, I gathered together saying that this person is not a Christian. And I didn't realize what happened when I arrived at the funeral home. The Chinese from Indonesia, from the Bali Island, I mean the Timor Island, I mean, they migrate to Australia, and they have a whole session, big session of Buddhism kind of celebration, you know, ceremony going on with a monk, with a lot of things going on. And this side, I have a few Christians sitting here, and they ask me, "Pastor, it's your time to speak." You know what? It was one of the worst times in my life. I had nothing to say. I had nothing to say to this person lying in the coffin. I had nothing to say to his relative, because I don't think there was any Christian there. I have nothing to say. It was one of the worst times, because there is no hope. I cannot cheat. I cannot just say something nice because, you know, I want to comfort them. I have nothing to say. You realize the resurrection of Jesus Christ bring us hope, all of us. Let us Christian, you know, we live a life with hope, knowing that our Jesus Christ died for us and he is for us. So this is so important to all of us, until we realize it. Otherwise, we always complain in our lives, Christian life, you know, not satisfied with this and that. I have a routine of reading the world news on Sunday early morning. And this morning, there was a bomb in Baghdad, Iraq. And they bombed a church when the Christians were there having Easter worship. But why Christians, they were not scared? Why? Because great Christian has faith and hope in Jesus Christ. This is so important. So when after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God saw the impact on his disciples, his followers was so great. At first, the disciples with many others, they were scared, they were frightened, they are not really prepared to face this situation like when Jesus was nailed on the cross. They were scared, they ran away. Even after they met Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, still they have doubt. They're scared, they have doubt. So you see, even Thomas saying that unless I touch him, with my hand, otherwise I won't believe it. It's just something beyond comprehension. It's difficult to understand. Jesus Christ has been with them for years, and yet he was put on the cross, and now he is resurrected. It's beyond our human understanding. We can't imagine that it's true. But just imagine the fact that before Jesus Christ went to the cross, he raised the dead. He raised people from the dead. And he himself saying that he is going to die on the cross and then, resurrect in 3 days. And also in John chapter 10, Jesus repeat twice saying that it's not I'm dying and then finish. It's because Father loved me and I'm willing to die for you people, and then I'm in time I will just be resurrected again. I will take back my life. He is the Lord of the life. He can decide. And this is the Christ, the Lord, that we can trust on. We can have hope, totally hope in Him. So that is so important for us to really preach the cross of Jesus Christ and His resurrection, because this is the only hope for this world. So brothers and sisters, this is so important. When the disciple witnesses Jesus resurrected from the dead, and then when Jesus ascend to the heaven, an amazing thing happened, because the disciples, they were weak, they may be doubting about what was happening, they may be scared in some way, but from Acts chapter 2 and onward, we witness the wonderful change among the disciples, and they became so bold, and they stood up and preached the gospel. Even they were put in the jail, they still keep preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. That's powerful. When we read the Bible, we need to ask ourselves, if the apostles, the disciples, after knowing that Jesus Christ died for us, for the world, on the cross and raised up from the dead, and when Jesus said that he is coming back again, and the disciples become so bold and preaching the gospel no matter where they go, this is something that we Christians today, we need to do. Just like that. Why are we scared? Where are we laid back? Where are we, find reason or excuses to not to do so? So brothers and sisters, let the truth of resurrection live up, in our lives, that people can see the hope from the resurrected Jesus Christ, and the power of the resurrection appear in our lives. I think that's something that we need to pray and ask God to help us. You see, we have so many people in the world, they are not yet Christian. Some of them heard about the good news, but many don't. And we still need a lot of people, we need to pray for them. So as church, we try to encourage people to pray for the lost world. And quite often, Christian life or prayer life, we are limited to four walls. To our own home, four walls, so we pray for our family members. Maybe we limited in our church, four walls, so we pray for our church people. And that's it. We try to do what we can. But Lord, but brother and sister, we need to learn how to do something that what God wants us to do with the power of restoration. We can do that. We start praying for people far and beyond. And even we prepare ourselves to respond to God saying that, God, if you send me, I'm willing to go. So, may God help us. This is so important. It's so important. You know, when Saul met Jesus Christ in person, he became Paul. And he just laid out his life and served the Lord without any reservation, without any regret. He fought the fight until the last day. He ran the race until, you know, he reached the goal. So, brothers and sisters, restoration and eternal hope. A lot of people, they need the Lord. A lot of people, they don't know who Jesus is. We need to help them. Allow me to repeat this, you know, one testimony I share maybe more than once already in the church. I'm not sure with the English congregation or not. One day when I was in Africa, Abdullah, the young man maybe in the late 20s, he worked with me to run a reading room, like library reading room, plus some sports facility, ping pong, and then table tennis, basketball, volleyball, to reach out to the young people there. We opened the door around 8 in the morning. It was a Saturday. And around 9, he came to me. He said, Malam Wong. Malam in their language, like Mr. He said, can I, you know, go back home for a while? I said, sure. We have a lot of young people in the youth center, reading center room. And then people, some of them are reading books, some discussing about anything. Some are playing games, some playing table tennis, some playing basketball. Abdullah went back home for around 1 hour, maybe a little bit more than 1 hour, then he came back. No one noticed anything. By 5 p.m., when we were together to just, you know, get ready to close the door, and then only he and I, we were together. And he told me, saying, Malam Wong, this morning, I went back home to help my sister to bury her daughter, 5 years old daughter. I look at him, I can't believe it. I mean, you went home and buried your sister's daughter, and you came back, and like nothing happened? So I asked him why. Why no tears? And he said, Allah decided. What can we say? I was so shocked. It wasn't something new to me, but I was so shocked. There is no hope there, no expectation there. What can we do about it? If Allah will so, my sister's daughter died, and I went back home and dig, you know, in a loose sand in the Sahara Desert. You know, it takes 5 minutes to dig the yard. I mean, it's so loose. And put the child down and cover it. 1 hour. He left the youth center for this and came back. 1 hour, maybe a little bit more than 1 hour. Brothers and sisters, we have a lot to thank God for. Because we know who Jesus is. And we know what does restoration mean to us. We have a lot to thank God for. So may God help us. You see, the purpose for the crucifixion and then restoration, I think Hebrew chapter 2 verse 14 and 15 describe it, you know, in a very unique way. I like it very much. Why Jesus came? Why we talk about Good Friday? Why Easter Sunday? Why Jesus died on the cross? Why Jesus was raised up from the dead? Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 and 15. Do you mind we can read together on the screen? Since the children had flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in the slavery by their fear of death. Fear of death is very true. Fear of death is very true. I talked to my mom last week through Skype, not a computer. For some reason, my family in Malaysia, they don't have Skype. They don't use internet as much, especially my mom's side, the parents there. But I talked to her. She didn't say much. After all, I talked to my brother, and my brother said that mom, sometime at night time, she's scared. I can imagine, because mom's saying that, you know, at night time, during her sleep, maybe half sleep, and she saw her mom, that means my grandma, passed away many, many years ago. And she saw people, friends that already passed away, and she was scared, and she wake up and couldn't sleep. I can understand that. I mean, this is normal. Even my mom is a keen Christian, and she knows, you know, even if she you know, live, you know, die or had to go to the Lord, that's fine. I mean, when we talk together, she is fine with that. But she's scared. Because the reality, the fact that the evil one, the one has the power of them, always try to scare people, always try to just, you know, to frighten people so that people may do something else and not depend on God totally. This is the fact for all of us. We say that, okay, we Christians, we are not afraid of dying. Yes, that's true. But if we are worried about it, if we are scared about it, if we fear about it, in a sense, it's normal also. Because we never experienced it. We are going to lose a lot of things that we are familiar with, and we are heading to somewhere that we have very little idea, I mean, no experience at all. So Jesus Christ came, two things. One, destroy the one who holds the power of death. So Jesus Christ, through the cross and through resurrection, he has victory. He defeated the evil one, the devil. So this is a real good news for us. And Jesus Christ needs a body to do that, because through the body he was hanged on the cross and he died for us, and through that he destroyed the one who holds the power of death, and secondly he freed us from fear. So whenever we have fear, we just reconsider, we just come back to the Lord and think about how Jesus loved us, how he died on the cross for us, and how he resurrected, and that's enough. That's enough. And the promise in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 saying that Jesus Christ, by doing so, he is the first fruit. You remember the term first fruit? The first fruit means once we plant a tree, like an apple tree, how can we prove that this is apple? You can explain anything, but before we give an apple, really show up the apple. Like for me, from Malaysia, I never see any apple tree. How can I tell? But if the first fruit came out, it's apple. I have all reason to believe the second fruit is apple also. It's not pear. It's not orange. So there's hope. Jesus Christ died on the cross and he resurrected, and Paul said that Jesus is the first fruit. And the promise saying that whoever follows Jesus Christ, believe in him, we are going to show the same fruit also. That means Jesus was raised up from the dead, and one day all of us who belong to Jesus Christ, who believe in Jesus Christ, we will be resurrected also. Will be raised up also. So brother and sister, this is hope. This is, you know, the promises from God. That is so important. So Jesus also saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. That's the promises. We believe in Jesus Christ, and even though one day we may die, and we will be, you know, raised up, we have life in Jesus Christ again. This is his promise. So brothers and sisters, when we trust this is truth, this is what God's saying is truth. And then that's why we can see a lot of people, even from Jesus' time until now, a lot of people, they are willing to die for what they believe, for what they believe is the truth. And no one wants to die for a lie. If this is not true, who wants to die for what is not true? So brothers and sisters, just think about it. When we were in Africa, one family from Canada, the wife was a medical doctor, the husband was a hospital director. They took a weekend off, 2 hours drive from the hospital in another small town in the Sahara Desert. And one night they found out one of their two daughters, the elder one, was having high fever. And the mom and medical doctor immediately found out she has meningitis. 2 hours driving towards hospital, the daughter passed away in a car in her father's arms. It was so shocking. We were 8 hours from the hospital. They were 2 hours from the hospital. Now us, all our family members, 5 of us, we got malaria more than once. I mean, why are we doing that? Well, like this missionary, they left the mission field and went back to Canada, and a lot of people thought, they are not coming back. They are not coming back. But after 2 years, they came back. Why? Why? Because the resurrection of Jesus, the rising, you know, the Christ that died for us. And that is the only hope for the people there. And it is worth us to even give up our life to serve him. So brothers and sisters, let the real power of resurrection be part of our life and ministered through our life today. Because only then people can see that what we believe is true. What we believe is true. We as Christians, we are so easily taking an easier way to be Christian. We try to, you know, make detour and not take God's word very seriously, and still can be a reasonably good Christian by coming to church, by supporting different ministry, by praying for people. But brothers and sisters, we need to take our belief very seriously. When the statistic from the Muslim organization in North America saying that a lot of the women, Christian women, became Muslim, I check if this information is true and if it's from a very reliable source. You know, the very top name on the North American Muslim organization, he became Christian, and that's what's from him. I just can't imagine a lot of divorce happening among the Christians. What happened? Are we taking an easier way to be Christian? Jesus never negotiated. Jesus never take a tour. He died on the cross and he resurrected. If you want us to do the same, take our Christian life seriously. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for what Jesus has done for us. Oh Lord, just bear our sins on his shoulder and die on the cross, in order that we believe in Jesus, we confess our sins, and Jesus will save us and forgive our sins. Lord, just we can't imagine how can someone is willing to do that. And yet today, Lord, you challenge us to do the same. May the power of resurrection live and shone from our life, that many will see that we are followers of Jesus, and many will see the truth and find hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.